Hi, I'm Sally Hart, and on this edition of the Special Agriculture Magazine on KCII, I'm speaking with Washington High School junior Morgan Brenning, an FFA student who's advancing to the state competition next month. You are involved in FFA here in Washington. Can you let us know what you do here?
Yeah, I'm a junior at Washington High School, and I've been involved in FFA ever since a freshman. My older sister was involved in FFA, and I've always just looked up to her and the program because I just thought it was a great opportunity for me to be involved in the community. I'm very involved in FFA as I am, for the 2016-2017 year, I've been the secretary for our program. And this coming year, I have been elected to be president, which I'm really excited about. I am involved in different activities like my SAE, which is just your activity that kind of, I don't know, gets you what you do in FFA. My SAE is my show pig business. I work a lot with my animals at my house and just getting them ready for shows and also just helping my dad with varieties around the house. I also am involved in CDEs, which my speech is a CDE. It's just a leadership contest that FFA members go and compete and make it state, or just you learn a lot of leadership abilities. So those are some of the things I'm involved in FFA.
And you're going to state in April.
I am. I'm really excited. It's never happened before. So a lot of people, I know some people from different schools that say it's awesome. It's a great experience. So I'm really excited for it.
And can you tell us about the process it took to qualify to go to state?
Yeah. So I started writing my speech in December, and I did public speaking last year, and I made it to districts but not state. So I was really wanting to make it to state. And so first we have sub-districts, which is late February. And so that's just a couple towns around southeast Iowa that come together, and that's sub-districts. So the top two in sub-districts move on to districts, and that's all southeast Iowa, and because there's five different districts in Iowa.
And that was in Muscatine?
Correct. And so I advanced on to state, which is on April 9th and 10th, and there's two people from each district that make it to state, and so there's actually six districts, so there'll be 12 competitors.
And how did you decide on your speech topic?
That's a great question. I know my mom and I, we were going to Costco one day, and I realized that there are so many, like, the non-GMO project. People don't realize what a GMO is. And so that really just sparked my attention on just informing the public about what a GMO is and just how it is actually safe for people. And most of the public just needs to understand the value and promise of what it is.
All right. Well, can we hear your speech?
We can. I would like you to take a moment to think about your favorite food. Think about what it looks like. The smell, the taste, and even the people you are with. What feeling do you get? Most of you would probably describe why you love this food, how the little things make it taste so good, or possibly even the people and setting that adds to your delight. What if I told you your favorite food probably contains genetically modified organisms, possibly made with biotechnology? Does that bother you? The World Health Organization defines a genetically modified organism as one where the genetic material has been altered in a way that does not occur naturally. Biotechnology is simply the method that is used to create GMOs, where scientists select desirable genes and transfer them from one organism to another. Some of the most common GMOs in the United States are field and sweet corn, soybeans, cotton, and canola. Many people in this country have preconceived notions about GMOs because of negative propaganda and myths. Farmers and food production businesses need to speak up and help consumers understand why GMOs and biotechnology are safe advances in food production. I would like to take a moment today to describe the benefits of GMOs from a farmer's daughter's standpoint and why they truly benefit the world around us. First, I will discuss the safety of GMOs for human consumption. Next, I will outline the environmental concerns surrounding GMOs. And finally, I will discuss how GMOs can help alleviate hunger and malnutrition around the world. First, according to many scientists, GMOs are completely safe to consume, although many people are unaware of this. I recently carried out a short survey to the teachers at my high school. Interestingly enough, exactly 50% of my teachers thought GMOs were unsafe to consume when asked. A follow-up question was posed to those teachers who thought GMOs were unsafe, asking them to provide a reason for their thinking. However, not a single respondent could provide a sufficient answer. This confirmed my theory, believing people think GMOs are unsafe without even being able to explain why. They hear myths in the media that affect their opinion. Misinformation from the media is often the cause. According to the American Medical Association and the World Health Organization, GMO foods are safe and healthy to eat. Actually, GMO products are the most regulated and tested products in agricultural history. A recent article in the Farm Bureau spokesman highlighted a powerful example of how GMO foods are the same as any other by looking at sugar. Nobody could tell the difference between conventional and GMO sugar. It looks the same, it tastes the same, and because scientists have studied it at a molecular level, we know it's the same. So what motivates organizations to lobby for placing labels on for every GMO product in the market? It is most likely because they think it is dangerous and harmful, but could it also be for the purpose of marketing? If you've never given thought to the safety of GMOs, but you first hear them by seeing a label that states, "This product contains GMOs," wouldn't you be concerned? Putting labels on GMOs would not only be an expensive task that causes food prices to rise, it would also be unfair to the producers and processors that use GMOs. A recent campaign from the major yogurt company, Danone, pledged they would not use any GMOs to make their yogurt. The U.S. Farmers and Ranchers Alliance were angered at the remarks and said, instead of promoting sustainability, Danone's campaign would force farmers to abandon safe, sustainable farming practices that have enhanced farm productivity for the last 20 years, while greatly reducing the carbon footprint of American agriculture. The public needs to understand the value and promise of GMO crops. Consumers just want to know one simple question: are they safe? In addition to answering this question, we need to let them know why we raise crops developed through biotechnology and why it is not only beneficial to the producers, but also to the stakeholders. One benefit for all stakeholders is that GMOs are environmentally friendly. GMOs are environmentally friendly because they require less chemical use to kill insects and weeds. An example of this is BT corn. BT corn is a genetically modified corn that was created to provide protection against the corn borer, which eats corn stalks, causing the plant to die. BT is a bacteria in the soil that forms a protein which attaches to the digestive tract of insects, causing them to quit feeding and die. Scientists use genetic material from the bacteria to give corn the ability to form this protein. And the great thing is that this protein is not harmful to humans whatsoever. As a result of this technology, pesticide use was decreased 90% from 1995 to 2010, according to a 2014 article from the USDA. I personally have experience with this, as my dad uses BT corn, and he says he's able to use fewer passes of insecticides in his field as a result of GMO crops. If farmers do not use GMO crops, they're basically using more insecticides to kill pests, which harms the land and the groundwater, or they're experiencing lower annual yields due to pest damage. This is just another reason why GMO crops are so beneficial to the world. Another reason why GMOs are environmentally friendly is the reduction of herbicide, which is to kill weeds. Roundup Ready soybeans and corn was invented by Monsanto and was created to be resistant to Roundup, a common, environmentally safe weed killer. The result is less herbicide because as the weeds die, the plants continue to thrive. Farmers then replace their outdated herbicide with Roundup, which is also less toxic to the environment, reducing harmful runoff. If you think about the relationship between the previous fact and GMO labels on food products, consumers who buy non-GMOs at their local grocery store could be buying products produced with more harmful insecticides and herbicides than GMOs. Now that we discuss environmental impacts on GMOs, my final point is the most important to me. Poor nutrition causes nearly half of deaths of children under 5, 3.1 million deaths per year. That's the whole state of Iowa, everyone in our great state dying each year. According to the World Health Organization, hunger and malnutrition is the deadliest threat to the world's public health. This happens mostly in developing countries where people do not receive the nutrition they need to survive. GMOs have been used in two major ways to solve this issue: providing much more food to the world, and enhancing nutritional needs in food. GMOs mean more food with less land. And keep in mind, by 2050, the population on planet Earth is expected to rise to 9 billion people from the current of 7.5 billion. GMO foods are absolutely vital to increase productivity while still maintaining food safety and environmental sustainability. One major example of GMOs for nutritional purposes is golden rice, a variety developed to produce and accumulate vitamin A in the grain. Research shows that people in many third world countries suffer from malnutrition, including inadequate amounts of vitamin A, which leads to disease and death. Making golden rice available to children in these remote areas is a real solution to the problem. Continued research and technology breakthroughs will help fix this silent epidemic facing our world today. In conclusion, there are many reasons why we should not hesitate and purchase GMO foods. Research has proven that they're completely safe to consume. We can make our world feed more people, using less resources, in an environmental sustainable way with the use of GMOs. Think about just what that means. Children no longer starving, more food with less resources, planet Earth's blessing. My hope is that the next time you hear someone talk poorly of GMOs, you will be able to explain to them what our world would look like without GMOs. I believe GMOs truly benefit the world around us, and I hope now you can understand my beliefs and make your own educated decision about genetically modified organisms. Thank you.
So how long did it take you to write your speech?
It took me about, I would say, a month to actually write the speech. On the other hand, for memorizing, that maybe took me a little longer. Personally, I'm pretty good at memorizing things. That's how I do good in school, I'd say. So memorizing took about from right when I finished it at the end of December to pretty much to sub-districts. I mean, I was practicing all the way in February. I had it memorized, and then when I kept practicing, getting the nerves out and stuff. So it took me a couple of months to memorize it, but it's worked so far.
And there are rules about how long the speeches can be?
Yes. The speech has to be from 6 minutes to 8 minutes. However, if you go over or under, I think it's if you go over 8 minutes, it's 0.1 points deducted per second. So, I mean, if you go over about 5 or 10 seconds, that's just a couple points. So it's really based on the other competitors around you.
And after high school, what are you going to be doing? Have you decided?
I do. I think I do. I'm not going to say for sure. I plan on being a physical therapist. I currently work at Jet Physical Therapy, and I don't know. I've always liked that job. It's always intrigued me, I guess. So I plan to go to Iowa State and get my undergrad and then go to physical therapy school.
That's been Morgan Brenning talking about her experience in FFA and going to state next month. I'm Sally Hart with KCII News.